Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Inside Track, Equibase's weekly handicapping podcast. We will give our analysis, picks, and wagers for a couple of the weekend's top races. I'm your host, Ben Kudla from Equibase. I'm joined today again by Corey Patton, the CEO and co-founder of Primana Labs, which creates all these stat lines handicapping content on Equibase.com. Be sure to check out those stat lines top plays on the homepage, as well as stat lines for each and every race every single day. So, Corey, you're back from your week in the spotlight last weekend. Last week on the Equibase podcast with Christina, Scott, and Dan. Thank you for the shout out of Chance McPatrick. I had my heart broken on Friday, but we'll get to that. So many great moments. I mean, Torpedo Anna winning her fifth grade one of the year, Lake Victoria more than looks scoring the highest Equibase speed figure of the Breeders' Cup, Moira the seventh Canadian and first for Kevin Attard, Straight No Chaser, Christina's husband, Dan Blacker, with his first Breeders' Cup. So many great moments, and I think we should just go through a couple of each favorite. So you're going with the Juvenile and Turf Sprint, and I'll be going over the Juvenile Fillies and the Filly and Mare Sprint, and then we'll both end up going with the Classic. So let's just pull up this Juvenile here.
Let's do it.
And yeah, see what we got.
I love the Juvenile race. Coming into it, I thought it was a really quality crop of two-year-olds coming into this race. I think it's going to be there. We may not look back at this one as the race that was most indicative of the next year's Classic or Triple Crown series. And I'll talk to you why. I'm not sure exactly. I think there will obviously be horses that come out of this that will factor into that. And this is probably a good quality crop. But I'm not sure that the way the race set up is indicative of how it'll turn out in the springtime. But if you want to go ahead and play the race, I think what you want to watch here before you do that, this is what changes the race completely right here at the start. So, and that's going to be East Avenue, and you'll watch this horse just a terrible break here, and that changes the entire complexity of the race. Oh. Look at that, almost goes down. Just East Avenue ends up last. Okay, and I mean that horse last time grabbed the lead at Keeneland and just kept on going. So this changes the entire pace scenario, and it allowed Citizen Bull, the Baffert horse, to get out on the front end here and really set a super slow fraction. And East Avenue would have clearly pushed that pace. I mean, they go 23-2 right in the first opening quarter, and then 47-4, and then get out there six panels at 112-1. I mean, there's no way the pace is that dawdling with East Avenue up on the front end. And so it just allowed this merry-go-round to happen start to finish in this race. So that's what I mean when I say I'm not sure it'll always play out like this. So I think that, you know, if East Avenue breaks on top in his last race, I mean, he set a 23-1, 46-3, 111 and change, cruised home by more than five lengths in his last race. He clearly would have pushed this thing at a faster pace. And clearly at Del Mar, races unfold a lot faster than this pace that they did. So you'll see Citizen Bull running a really nice, credible race. He's going to, you know, they go into the stretch here. He's got his stablemate Gaming right here on his flank, those two Baffert horses. And you know, they're going to fight it out in the stretch. And Citizen Bull just had the jump on him, and Gaming could never catch him. So again, look, just no change in, not much change really at all, except for the horse. The Hill Road is going to come up here and finish up nicely for, you know, Adrian Murray. And I think that's really the one you might want to follow in here, because look at this. Nobody's moving. My horse, Jonathan's Way, makes up no ground. Chancellor McPatrick, evenly, also a victim of the pace. Not a whole lot there. And so I don't know that when you continue on in the future, this merry-go-round is what's going to happen. But look at the three coming. And he's the only one that bucks the pace scenario. So, you know,
ruined the Bob Baffert trifecta there.
You got it. Hill Road was dead last after six furlongs and then flies home to grab third. And he's really the one to look at bucking the trend going forward. But I'm not sure you can take a lot out of that race as far as how the things will set up in the spring races. But kudos to Citizen Bull. Ran a nice race and dictated the pace the whole way.
Yeah, and can we talk about how there was a Bob Baffert at 15-1, second at 6-1 or 8-1? I mean, wild out there in Del Mar. He's the king of California, yes. And everybody just after Citizen Bull won a Grade One. I mean, you know, getting 10 points on the road now, he got 30 points, so he's 40 points total for the road of the Kentucky Derby. But yeah, I mean, they just gave that race away. But like you said, it would have been very different if East Avenue had a different start, and you could see on that first turn. First time he got sprayed in the face with dirt, and so Gafflione even had to go farther back. And the thing, you know, what broke my heart obviously is Chance McPatrick, but he really didn't have any excuse. He started out like any other race. Yeah, he's way back, but that's, you know, his running style. He just did not have it that day. You know, I mean, he's a young horse. a lot to improve, learned a lot as well, you know, so I'm still on the Chance McPatrick train. You know, I'm not going to give him the Pete Rose treatment, but I still think the world of that horse.
every Hall of Famer has a rough day in their career.
So. Exactly. How many Hall of Famers are there that are really undefeated? So yeah, even Vignotta couldn't do it.
And you know, on the Equibase podcast last week, I really liked Jonathan's Way coming out of that the last couple mm-hmm. of races. Really just kind of mid-pack, didn't do much of anything. I also gave out Gaming. Those were the two. And Gaming did yep. exactly what I expected Gaming to do. And Bob Baffert at Del Mar, I mean, that's at that price, kind of a gift. So anyway, the Juvenile, good race. Let's see what you've got.
Yeah, let's move on to the Juvenile Fillies here. No surprise, really, on the winner, but it was a fantastic race nonetheless. Let's see if I can pull this up. Turf Sprint. All right, so you'll be watching the three immersive here. Here's your winner, Godolphin Homebred. Really nice start, you know, very clean break. It's mid-pack there, kind of on the inside. Staying in between rivals, laying fifth. Just comfortable, you know, easy. I mean, yep, she's used to that. She's not really fully on the front end before. She's always kind of stalking, so she used to being behind horses and just settles in nicely. I forgot what this pace is. But yeah, I mean, she's comfortable. Yeah, solid 22. I mean, it's kind of fast for a mile and an eighth, but she's laying there right there. What is that? Noonie way out there. Yeah, that's Noonie out there. No surprise. Went way out.
Yeah.
Kind of like Cogburn did. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But
Cogburn. And I like the rail horse Vodka with Twist coming into this race too.
Yeah, that's who you picked for the Sorrento back in early August on the inside track, and she ran really well. To get second. But yeah, here it's kind of seeming all Noonie. They're still not catching her, but 44.99, ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
And here comes your Vodka with the Twist. And Scottish Lassie. I'm surprised that horse didn't finish better than she did. But there's Immersive still going back there, way on the outside, going in the four path. Kind of seems like she's trying here. Your Manny Franco's really trying hard.
Yeah. And look at the rail horse Vodka with Twist just hanging on that wrong lead.
Hanging on the wrong lead, yeah.
Watch when eventually she does switch, then she kind of
comes back to get second. Yeah, yeah, but here's Immersive just going off. 4.5 lengths. But yeah, look at Vodka with a Twist, yeah.
Just all of a sudden accelerates. And again, Immersive, much the best. Much the best.
I mean, no surprise. Really excellent filly, you know, remained perfect. She's 4-for-4. Three grade one wins in a row, the Spinaway, the All CBiotis, and now the Juvenile Fillies has 40 points for the road to the Kentucky Oaks. Just very excited to see this filly come back. And actually, now since she has $1,622,000 in earnings, she is the new leader in the 2-year-old division of the Equibase leaderboard. So that's exciting. She might get herself an Eclipse Award. We mm-hmm. shall see. But yeah, other than that, it was a great race. I mean, honestly, 5-2 wasn't bad price. You know, that was a pretty easy lock. But I think now we're going to go to the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, where we had a little bit different.
A lot of the story was the same. I would say, really, every race we're going to go through and talk about was really pace makes the race. It always does. But some of these are extreme paces in both cases. The juvenile race that we showed early had a super dawdling pace merry-go-round. The juvenile fillies went, it was dictated by Noonie going out there and setting a suicide pace, you know, yeah. and setting it up for that. The turf sprint here, fastest, you know, horse in the world right now, Cogburn, is going to try to do Cogburn things, and it's gonna end up costing him. So when you watch this horse, you're gonna watch Cogburn break, and you're gonna see the horse kind of, yeah, right there, exactly, the nine. And you're gonna watch, it's just an okay break, it's fine. But then Ortiz has to kind of use the horse.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what you think of this Inquirer at the end as well.
Yeah, exactly. We can talk about that. See, just kind of nine doesn't break great, doesn't sharpen. And then Ortiz has to use the horse, is looking over. And at this point in time, you see, okay, Cogburn's going. And kind of, you know, just looks like he's letting the reins just loose at this point almost. And Cogburn's going to go out there and do 21.59. Okay. Super fast. Crazy. Right? I mean, that's absolutely crazy. And at this point, you're like, well, maybe this horse is superhuman. Sets that right. So it just posted 21.59. And then you're like, okay, just opening up here. And when you see the next number come up, it's just jaw dropping. 43.72. Oh. And so, I mean, that is just an insane pace. And you can see Cogburn now getting a little weary. And, you know, you're watching at home, you're thinking, there's just no way this horse
can happen. No way.
And then here comes the cavalry. And you're going to watch the four. The four is the horse to watch inside, because the four is going to get shut off there as Cogburn lugs out and then just accelerate through. And, you know, Starlust was clearly the best horse in the race. And we can talk about the inquiry, but got a dream trip there. Got a dream trip with a horse that set a ridiculous pace up front. And I'll talk a little bit about what the Equibase GPS stats say about that. When you look at shortening stride, everybody talks about that. Well, Cogburn really shortened stride and had a right to, obviously, you know, going that fast. But by the finish, he had shortened down to just 21.86 feet average stride length by the finish line. In contrast, the winner, Starlust, was moving home at 25. And that's the story at the end. That's the difference in stride length just flying through there, right? And so, you know, if you watch Starlust finding that seam and, you know, finding the way through, you're going to watch the inquiry here. And I think this is important to watch.
Starlust.
Yeah, Starlust is the four. And then, of course, Cogburn's kind of lugging out. And so Starlust has to find a hole. And by doing that, he creates that, you know, that effect right there. And, you know, it creates, obviously, the inquiry. It had to come up there. But I think the whole thing was initiated by Cogburn there, clearly.
I agree, yeah. So
can't really do anything to change the order of finish. And, you know, I think he was much the best anyway. So I think that it was the right winner. Kudos to that. Nice finish, second finish for Motorious. But, you know, the finishing flourish of Starlust was really the story of the race after Cogburn just set that pace.
Yeah, that is just... That was even too fast for him, you know, even after having a faster second half in the Jaipur. But yeah, I mean, I just don't think, you know, with Starlust going in to the 10, I just don't think the 10 even had that big of a chance of winning. I guess that was their end result for the stewards, but it was a good call. I'm glad they didn't change anything. Overall, good race, and congrats if you hit it at 30-1.
Yeah, if you had Starlust, good on you, right?
Didn't the Soul of an Angel owner have the pick five with all in that race?
I don't know.
He did. I think it paid $235,000.
That's another one we're going to talk about. But that was one that Dan Tordman, America's Best Racing, came up with.
This is the next day. Excuse me. Yeah, sorry. But all right, last, but we're going to move on to what I scored really big in. This is my probably play of the Breeders' Cup. Oh, we're going to go. Here we go. Filly and mare sprint. You'll see this horse, Soul of an Angel. I mean, we'll just start it now. I mean,
is it up well. I don't see it up there on the screen.
Oh, excuse me. Apologies, everybody.
There you go.
All right, so here's the eight here, the Soul of an Angel. Breaks well, but breaks just dead last. I mean, just completely dead last. You know, that one almost fell on his face too, Frost at Dawn. But yeah, look at her back there.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Seabiscuit, where he's just like, come on, Red. And then he makes up 30 lengths.
Out of the clouds runner.
You know? But I mean, look at, what is she, 12, 15 lengths back from the one, let alone the leader. I mean,
well, you have to, in your handicapping. I mean, he's got the best last race, a late pace rating in the race, right. Just eclipsed everybody with that. But go ahead and set it up for us.
Yeah, I mean, so here she comes, still dead last, kind of laboring on her, but she just turns it on. It's kind of like that one France horse, Sacred Life, just like an electric golf cart. I mean, here she goes, just goes. You got a wall of horses on front. Looking like the Ways and Means is just going to kind of take it here. But there she is, still way back, still third to last on the outside. Drain Van Dyke on the left hand. It doesn't even look like he's riding like that hard. But it just sneaks up on the outside. This whole wall of horses. To just take it by half a length, like seemingly easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Just never looked like you had the measure the entire way. But that 44 and change half is pretty fast.
Yeah, it's like 21.94, 44 and change, obviously set up. But to close from that far back, I mean, wow. And that was Safi's first ever Breeders' Cup win, second Breeders' Cup win for Drayne Van Dyke. And how could you not love that guy? I mean, what a great story. Just such an easy person to root for, good guy. And, had some troubles out there in Southern Cali. Brought his tack down to a golf stream, and he's just been tearing it up. So good for him. Wishing him all the best. If you hit it like I did, the Exacta straight up kind of just pulled your money out of the account and kind of carried me for the rest of the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, that was a big score and a good price, big price. So well done, Ben.
That was a good start to the day. But let's go over this classic. I know you and I both have quite a bit to say about this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think as you pull this up, the classic, again, it's going to go back to it's another pace situation. It really, the whole weekend was when you watch the clock in the race, you could figure out what was going to happen, especially in the classic. And, in this one, I'm not sure who your pick was coming in. I love Newgate.
I picked Newgate on the inside track as well.
Really like Newgate, and Forever Young underneath, I thought was going to run a huge one. I think Newgate, spoiler alert, does not win here, but ran a good race. I'm not wrong in picking that. But when you watch the race, and you're going to go ahead and just let it roll here, you and I, a couple things to talk about. See what Derma Todagate does with the fractions here in this race. He's going to go out there and he's going to put up some really wicked fractions going this distance. And, at that point, you can see kind of in the back, Sierra Leone is going to sit back there in the back and going to love what he sees up in front of him. Right. And a lot of horses. There's a cavalry up there going 22 and 0.43, 44.96 per mile and a quarter. Come on. This is insane. And so at that point in time, Derma Todagate will fade to last eventually in this and obviously does. But I think some of those other ones like Mixto, Arthur's Ride, Highland Falls, kind of up there in that cavalry, they're all going to, fade to last. The horse to watch here really is Fierceness. Right. I thought he ran, obviously kudos to the winner, but I thought Fierceness ran the best overall race of any horse in here, considering the pace scenario he was up against, considering he kept on to the very finish of the finish line, a really determined second place. I thought he ran a great race. So, as we start getting closer to the six panels here, you're going to start to see the race just kind of start to fall apart a bit. And Sierra Leone is just going to start picking off horses here.
And also City of Troy back there still just did nothing.
Did nothing. And you're going to see Newgate where when Newgate starts to move, you think, okay, Newgate's got a shot here. And Fierceness is going to take over right here. Newgate's going to kind of come up on the outside. You think, okay, Newgate might actually make a race of this thing. And then you just see Sierra Leone's head, the jockey comes around.
Way there on the outside.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, well, I see what's going to happen here, right?
Okay, yeah. When I was watching this live, I was like, okay, it's done.
It's done. And just, Newgate's still hanging in there. Fierceness still hanging in there. Forever Young on the outside. But kudos to this year's three-year-old crop, right? From
Torquito. I know, right?
Forever Young. I mean, kudos to this crop, right? I think they just took turns, beating each other. And so I think that's good for the future, good for the sport. And it was great to see that result in Sierra Leone finally get one that he wanted this year.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed about Newgate being retired already. I was kind of looking forward to seeing his 2025 bid because it kind of seemed like he was just kind of coming into his own, really.
I looked at the finish here, Ben. I went to the Equibase again, GPS stuff. And, Newgate finished fourth, and a really credible fourth, I thought, at a huge price, at a really nice price, 21 morning line. He didn't get beaten by much, and he ran the second most total distance in the race at 6,650 and just got nailed for third and, much more than the, Sierra Leone did and Fierceness as well. So somehow his trip around the track, he ran further than the rest. So incredible race, kudos to all those top four, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Sierra Leone finally had his day after, just always being right there. he's a tough horse to handicap. I honestly did not have him picked. I was kind of like, well, I'm kind of done with him. He runs well, but just he never wins. And there it is. As soon as we say it, leave him off the ticket.
we're not going to show it, but the horse that he just beat, Torpedo Anna, was, dip your cap to her as well over the weekend.
Like, wow. just wow. You know, I'm excited for her 2025 bid. Same with Fierceness. But yeah, horse of the year. I'm interested to see what your thoughts are. I mean, to me, I kind of think you have to give it to Torpedo Anna, but I also have a lot of arguments in my head to give it to Fierceness if he beat Torpedo Anna, you know, which is
I fully agree. I just think that there's Fierceness, there's some clunkers. And when what he did in the Kentucky Derby or didn't in the Kentucky Derby should be factored in, right? And I think Torpedo Anna has just been brilliant throughout the year.
Yeah, consistent all throughout the year. I agree. Yeah, I think, what is it, the last time female won the Horse of the Year was 2011, I think, with Half Rated Grace.
Man.
I could be wrong on that. I know, like, Zenyatta was 2010. But
yes, and Zenyatta wasn't, because there's no break.
Anyway, it's been more than a decade, so that'd be cool, cool to see. So what a fantastic Breeders' Cup it was. But racing in 2024 is not over. So we still got a couple nice weekends. Thanksgiving prominently at Churchill coming up is going to be a great weekend of racing. But this weekend, we're going over the Grade 2 Red Smith Stakes at Aqueduct for their opening weekend. Opening day is today, Thursday, at Aqueduct, and the Grade 3 River City Stakes at Churchill. And also just want to give another reminder that the race, the NHC, it's a free weekly contest for RaceLens subscribers on Saturdays at horseplayers.com. It's called the Race to the NHC. Top two finishers from each weekly feeder contest will make their way to the RaceLens Final 50, which is a contest on February 22nd. The top two finishers from that will earn their spot to NHC 2025, as well as a travel voucher and a four-night stay at Horseshoe Casino in Vegas. So sign up and play at equibase.com/NHC, and please remember that you must be an active RaceLens user to play. So let's just move on back to the bluegrass. The Grade 3 River City Stakes at Churchill. Mile and an eighth on the turf for three-year-olds and up. Last year's winner was Smokin' Tea for trainer Shug McGahee with John Velasquez aboard. Field of 10 here Saturday. Lots of value, I think, but who do you got?
Well, you can say lots of value, and somehow I ended up on the favorite. Cash Equity.
Okay, yeah.
Not return a lot of cash. That's what I went through the race. And I kind of settled on Cash Equity. And sometimes you try to find huge prices in races just to take a big price. And then sometimes you say, well, I think this is the best horse in the race. And, you know, if you look at that last race, you know, the Coolmore Turf Mile, three runners out of that race, second, fourth, fifth, have all come back to win their next start. The second place horse, More Than Looks, we already talked about that. I mean, Good job.
Won the Breeders' Cup, yeah, with the highest Equibase speed figure in the 2024 Breeders' Cup as well.
130? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So,
geez.
Right? So that second place horse came back to win that. The fourth place horse won the Artie Schiller Stakes. The fifth place horse won the Mohawk Stakes. You know, obviously Carl Spackler was the winner he faced. I mean, there's some really good horses in that last race. And when you say no horse in here has faced that type of competition in their last, and he only lost by 4¾ lengths, right? I mean, So that race has already proven itself to be key. Safi and Mike, you know, have won three stakes together all time. All three were this summer. So it's recency, twice with Spirit Wind and once with Mystic Lake and the Charlestown Oaks. So they got a little something going this summer in stakes races. You know, just face the best horses. And Goliad even before that a couple times. So those are really good horses. And he's run well at Churchill over the turf, finishing second and just missing a couple of times. So, you know, not a big deal there. So, yeah, I think he's going to make that one run and, you know, hopefully mow them all down, you know, with the extra eight to work with today. Not creative, but I think the best horse.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against that. You know, Mike Smith isn't just riding anybody these days. I mean, he's picking and choosing. He's leaving a Saturday at Del Mar to come all the way to Churchill to ride in this race. So that's definitely very telling. And, yeah, like you said, they're winning at 33%. Yeah. Very small sample size. I think when they first started, though, they went 2-for-2, you know, riding together. So, you know, they've got it going. And also, what a claim, by the way, for Cash Equity. $80,000, and already since then he's made almost $311,000 running the graded stakes races. I mean, just kudos to that. What a claim. Good for them. I'm going to go a little different here. You know, I hear what you're saying sometimes, you know, the best horse you think, regardless of the odds, that's me and the Red Smith. But this race, I'm going to go with Battle of Normandy, the eight here at Moorline, 6-1.
That's my value pick. That's my second.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. So we're kind of on the same page. You know, interesting City of Light colt from the Shug McGahee barn with a red hot Luan Machado aboard, who already has three wins from just seven starts in the Churchill November meet. He has 2 of 5 wins in stakes races as well in the past 60 days or 30 days, excuse me. But going back to that Saratoga Grade One Saratoga Derby Invitational, this was early August of last year. I finished 4th by 4.5 lengths to Program Trading, Web Slinger, and Farbridge. Program Trading went on to win 2 back-to-back Grade One races. Web Slinger went on to run 2nd in the Grade One Hollywood Derby, and Farbridge went on to win back-to-back Grade One races as well this year. He just ran in the Breeders' Cup Turf. Really tough competition he was running against. Then after that Saratoga Derby Invitational, he comes back to finish 3rd by just 1.5 lengths to Anglophile and 2nd to Farbridge in the Grade Three Dueling Grounds at Kentucky Downs. Oddly enough, then he goes into an allowance race on the dirt at Churchill. First time he ever tried dirt. Did not like it one bit. Finished last. I think I'm going to scratch that race off. And now going into this race, he has 3 straight wins at the allowance level at Belmont at the Big A in Saratoga, where he ran a 106, 105, and 94 equibase speed figures. On that AOC 62.5 at Saratoga on July 4th, he beat Truly Quality in the race, who came back to win 2 stakes races in a row, including the Grade 3 Singspiel Stakes. His last time out, he won that AOC 80K at BAQ, and then the second place finisher and the winner is just won the Grade 3 Knickerbocker a couple weeks back. I think this is a perfect race that Shug put him in, a perfect spot to continue this win streak, kind of a easier kind of Grade 3, you could say. Another thing I love about this horse is his late pace rating. He's ranked 2nd in the race with a 111.5. So love the price at 6-1. He's my value play and top play. You know, yeah, I do like cash equity.
I agree. I mean, Battle of Normandy was the other one that I just looked at, and I said, look, I love horses that like to win races. I mean, regardless of what condition, what level, if they like to win races, this horse likes to win races. And also, you know, look, these are allowance or AOC races. And the last 3, you've had Pratt, Rosario, gets Machado today, the hottest jockey in the circuit right now. I mean, like you can kind of see what's going on here. I'd be surprised if this horse doesn't have a pretty nice showing on Saturday.
I agree. I think actually the 1, Emmanuel, is going to be a decent price. I think he'll keep at that 7-2 with cash equity, taking all the money. But he's got the best early pace in here with a 109.9, best average class in here as well with a 115, best average speed of a 108. He hasn't run less than 100 equibase speed figure since August of 2022. That's 12 straight races of throwing a 3-digit speed figure. Yeah. Mike Maker and Luis Saez as well. They went at 32% in turf races at Churchill Downs in the past 3 years. 7 wins from 22 starts, 45% in the money, and 39% in turf routes in the last 3 years at Churchill. So there's another interesting stat. I found that on RaceLens. Last time he finished out 4th, finished 4th in the Grade 1 Turf Classic Stakes against 2 Breeders' Cup horses, Farbridge and Warlike Goddess. The Grade 2 United Nations was a really solid effort for this horse back in July this year. He finished 4th by just 0.75 lengths to Get Smokin' and Grand Sonata, another BC horse, and Tawny Port. If you go back and watch that race, in the final turn going in the stretch, Emmanuel, he's kind of stuck on the inside, like a bunch of traffic. He ended up just going on the rail and just closed really well. 3 for 3 at this distance, you know, that could be a solid play as well. You know, definitely got to put him in for exotics, if not. Not a winning horse. So.
Well, I gave a long look to Emmanuel as well, and anytime you see Master of the Seas and Naval Power in your past performances at this level, that's probably good horse, good class you're running against. So he's definitely running against the good races. It's that glaring 100 plus equibase speed figure streak is awesome. Maker and Saez are 0-6 the last 90 days together.
A couple things on there, and also cash equity beat Emmanuel. You know. As a Kentucky Downs, some horses take to it more than others, but he still did beat him.
Yeah. Warlike Goddess. I mean, look at that last. I mean, it's just there's a lot of quality in this horse's running lines. So, who knows? I don't think he'll have a poor showing on Saturday. I think he'll acquit himself nicely. I'm just going with cash equity on the outside, and I think that your Battle of Normandy is a better value play than Emmanuel.
Love it. All right, so going with cash equity, I'll be going with Battle of Normandy. Let's move on to the Equibase feature race of the week, the Grade 2 Redsmith Stakes at Aqueduct, 1 3/8 on the inner turf for 3-year-olds and up. Last year's winner was Masterpiece by Neck at odds of 10-1 for trainer Richard Dutro Jr. with Jose Lescano aboard. Masterpiece is back on Saturday in here to defend his title. You know who won this race in 2014 was Dynamic Sky. Remember that Cassie horse? I actually have a Dynamic Sky hat from 2012, the Breeders' Cup. But I love that horse. So that was cool. I was looking back who won, and yeah, he ended up winning that in 2014. But anyway, very competitive field of 9 here. What's your play in here?
I'm going back to back with Masterpiece, to be honest. I think that when you look at these races, these long distance turf races, sometimes can be really hard to handicap for folks that haven't done this a long time. This one's not really an exception. I mean, it's hard. I like to look at these types of races. I like to look at horses that have proven their class at the distance, because you just sometimes you don't have enough of these longer races to really get a large sample size. Sometimes you're just not sure how horses are going to take to it. So when you look at Masterpiece winning the race last year, clearly likes the distance, likes the track, likes the service cycle, likes all of that stuff, and has competed in 5 graded stakes on the sod since, you know, facing the likes of, you know, Warm Heart, I'm Very Busy, Giannis, Cabo Spear, like those are good horses, right? And so he's definitely run against the best. I mean, an 8-year-old, it's a hard knocking old horse at some point gonna take a step back, but I think he's got one more in it. Loves the Aquedeck track, 2 for 2. You know, Dick Dutro and Jose Lascano, you know, won this race together last year and are 23% together on the year. 2 for 5, 40% in a place finish in turf routes at Aqueduct the past 2 years, Dutro is. So, you know, gets it done at the over the track. I think the versatile running style should help kind of set him bid pack maybe and ready to pounce when the running really starts. So I'm going to go with Masterpiece to get it done in this race.
Yeah, I love it. I love that horse too. I was kind of going back and forth between him and Integration. But yeah, I mean, look at Masterpiece. You know, he goes out to Cali, doesn't really do that well, but he doesn't really run bad. I mean, Third by a length, fifth by only a length and a half, fourth by 3.5 lengths. I mean, and those are tough grade two races with, like you said, some very tough company. And last time he was at home in New York, won a grade two by neck, which in this race, the Red Smith. And then before that, won the... the Fort Marcy. Yeah. So, definitely a really good horse. I just think Integration here, you know, we don't have the morning lines yet. He'll probably be the big favorite, but I just don't really see anyone beating him here on Saturday. Flavian Pratt gets the mount as well, changing from Kendrick Carmouche, which I think is a ginormous plus for this horse. Yeah. Pratt obviously just been riding lights out, won the Bill Shoemaker Award for Outstanding Jockey, the Breeders' Cup. He's winning at 24% in graded stakes this year. In the past 2 years, Pratt only has 3 starts in turf route graded stakes races at Aqueduct or Belmont at the Big A. And of those 3, he has 2 wins and a second place finish. It's a plus 347% ROI on turf route graded stakes races at Aqueduct or Belmont or the Big A. It's a very small sample size. And, you know, some people will hate on me for that, but that's what he's ridden. So, you know, is what it is. Last time this horse was on the Aqueduct turf, romped by 5 lengths in the grade 2 Hill Print Stakes. The grade 3 Virginia Derby, the start before that, he actually beat Program Trading. I went on to win back-to-back grade 1 races in the Hollywood Derby and the Turf Classic at Churchill. Ran 3rd to Master of the Seas and Naval Power in the grade 1 Turf Classic. Lost the Nation's Pride by a length and 3/4 in the grade 1 Arlington Million. Last year's Red Smith winner came out of the Arlington Million. However, Masterpiece finished 10th versus 2nd by Integration. Last time I ran 4th by 4 lengths to Grand Sonata, who just saw the Breeders' Cup. Howie Robber, who we just saw win the Grade 3 Sycamore at Keeneland and Tawnyport. And also, you know, those first time of Kentucky Downs races, you know, either the horse is going to take to that surface or not. A lot of times you can just kind of throw those races off, which I kind of do. And actually, what's interesting in the Breeders' Cup, my dad was telling me this. I forget what the stat is after 2024, but going into the Breeders' Cup, horses who last raced at Kentucky Downs were 0 for 111.
Oh.
Isn't that wild? You know, I could be very slightly wrong in the numbers, but it's like around that ballpark. You know, and that's actually why I bet against Cogburn.
Yeah.
And there it was, you know, plain and simple. I mean,
that's wild. That is wild. So, I mean, that is a larger sample size. I think you should. That was an incredible stat for sure.
Of course, I found that one out after the Inside Track podcast last week, but.
Well, I like your pick. I think obviously the class is there. The horse is a quality horse. I'm actually going to look at a little bit underneath with the other horse from Shook McGahee coming out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Limited liability. you know, that one's that two mile plus race. You know, should have bottom. I mean, should be able to have the distance. It's going to come back here. We'll have the stamina, hopefully. My gosh! But just went out and set the pace. Won the race by 8.25 lengths over the Gray Wizard, who came back to win a stakes at Far Hills in the next start. Shug wins at 21% with horses that have won their last start. So, you know, there's some confidence there. But looks like you and I are both going to hope for a horse out of Kentucky Downs to go to Aqueduct and do what Shug hasn't been able to do yet in a small sample size. Let's go from Kentucky Downs to the next start. So should offer some price there anyway.
It's true. Yeah. Also, before we go, limited liability. Interestingly, and I haven't seen this in a while in race lines, but he's ranked best in early, middle, and late pace rating in the race. So just something to really watch out for, you know. The other show, again, Frankie Dettori aboard. I love that. They only have 9 races together all time, Shuggy Dettori. They've won 2 of them, so 22%, 56% in the money, small sample size. But also run that 113 last time out. I went back in the last 5 years, Shug McGahey in graded stakes races with horses who last time out ran a career best equibase speed figure, wins at just 13%. Yeah. 5 years. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. But yeah, that was a pretty epic performance. But I do like Masterpiece as well. I think we're actually getting a pretty decent price on him. Yeah, Integration, I don't know, probably 2-1.
I mean, Masterpiece, a limited liability, lost twice to Masterpiece as well.
That is very true. That is very true. But anyway, so there you have it. The Red Smith Stakes. I'll be going with Integration, and Corey is going with Masterpiece.
Before we get over this, I want to go back one horse in here that we have. Automo, we've not talked about. This is a 6-year-old, that hard-knocking horse that has run in how many straight graded races that is now they just decided to geld.
I know. That so odd. You know, to me, that horse is done.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's done. Like, there's...
Why would you... Yeah, obviously, as an industry expert, why would you do that? Why would you geld a 6-year-old at this age after... I mean, it's just...
The only thing I could think of is health.
Yeah.
The health reason.
Maybe so. Okay. Just that one just stuck out at me and as a question for you.
Yeah. Also, speaking of sexes, that 8-year-old Ridgeling is Masterpiece. When do you see 8-year-old Ridgelings run?
But, hey, I put my money down on an 8-year-old Ridgeling. So there we go.
I love it. I love it. Integration and Masterpiece. Well, thank you, Corey. This has been a blast. And thank you, everyone, so much for watching. Good luck in your wagers this weekend, and we'll see you next week.